Intervju Radija Študent. V zadnjih letih je v glasbenem časopisju opazen močan porast zanimanja za britanski tehno. Nekateri so ga označili tudi kot preporod industriala in na trenutke se iz njihovega poročanja zazdi, da so se vsi ti producenti pojavili kar od nikoder. Toda resnica je precej drugačna. Za novi val britanskega tehna je namreč odgovorna množica producentov, ki so v letih in letih ustrajanja v podzemlju končno doživeli svoj trenutek. Med njimi je eden najbolj zaslužnih in inovativnih vsekakor Ali Wells alias Perk. Z izdajami že od leta 2002 je nabiral gromozansko diskografijo, katere kvaliteta se dotakne le malo kdo. Svojo založbo Perk Tracks pa je gostil ena najbolj zvenečih imen prebujajočega se tehno podzemlja. Alija Wellsa smo ujeli preko telefona pred prihodom v klub K4, kjer bo nastopil danes večer na večeru Elements.
Perk, could you tell us something about the music you listened to growing up and eventually led you to production of electronic music?
I grew up in quite a small village in the south of England, so this was before the internet, and we were quite isolated, so music came in waves and everyone was kind of listening to the same music. So from my childhood, after I finished with pop music, it was mainly sort of early hip-hop, then going into metal, and then finally I arrived at electronic music with like rave and hardcore, that kind of UK rave sound, and also the early kind of electronica and IDM releases on Warp. So they were huge influences on me, and I think they remain quite big influences to the day. And also at the same time I started listening to Nine Inch Nails, which led me onto some of the more British based industrial stuff, Throbbing Gristle, Cabaret Voltaire, Clock DVA, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's the kind of music I was listening to in my youth. And then when I went to university a bit later, I started getting into techno via Jeff Mills, Carl Cox, Tresor and things like that.
But even though you eventually went on to listen and produce techno, you produced drum and bass at first, right? Am I right?
I've always had an attitude of producing whatever music I was liking at the time, or just whatever I found interesting or even challenging technically in the studio. I was listening to a lot of drum and bass, the kind of dark sort of Ed Rush, DJ Trace, No U-Turn, that kind of thing. So I was trying to make that kind of sound. And when my first releases were signed for vinyl release, my first techno releases, at that time I was making, like, spending half my time making drum and bass and half my time making techno, and I think I was very close to having a drum and bass record signed. So this was when it was only vinyl releases and no downloads, and I think if that record had actually been signed and manufactured and released on vinyl, then I might have gone down the sort of drum and bass road.
Yeah, I wanted to mention Ed Rush and Nico because I really hear the sound in your textures and the atmospheres. But where does this tribal feel and the need for massive percussion come from? Why did you choose an alias Perk?
Perk is from a university project from when I was maybe 21 years old, so quite a long time ago now. Perk is short for percussion, and it was really where you have like 2 minutes to give a project a name before you have to give it to the teacher. And it was just looking at like the mixing desk and the sort of the sound modules and the equipment in the studio, and obviously I must have seen percussion and shortened it to Perk, and that's the name. In terms of why I like the big drum sounds, obviously I like the impact of them, especially like big sort of cracking snares. They sound great if you get them right, they sound really good in the club. But years ago, the last time I was in a band, an actual band, which was three other guys, which is when I was maybe 17 or 18, we didn't have a drummer, and we had a really bad old digital drum machine, and it sounded really weak, and we were trying to be like a heavy and aggressive rock band, and we had these really weak drums, and the other bands used to laugh that our drums, you know, your drums are really weak, there's no power to them. And I think maybe that stuck in my mind, and I never wanted to be told I had weak drums ever again.
How has your sound evolved over the years?
It's followed, of course, what I'm listening to and what I'm playing out as a DJ, because one of the reasons for my productions and for Pertrax is to release music that fits into my DJ sets. But I think at the moment I'm much more settled. I know who I am. I know the kind of music I want to make. I have my own sounds, but I still think I pick up influences from, you know, artists that are doing things and that inspire me. It's always changing, but I hope my sound changes in a kind of true and honest way, and it doesn't seem like I'm just following trends. You know, I try and walk down my own kind of path and not copy what the sort of dominant sound is. So yeah, I'm always moving on.
Yeah, I agree. You obviously started your label in a time when British techno wasn't doing so great. I think. But what was the main reason you started for the start of your label?
I started the label in 2004. The thinking behind it was that I had my first few releases. I don't know, maybe four or five records, and it was a time where my music was developing all the time, and my production skills were getting better, I think, every month as I really pushed myself forward. And there were these different labels I was working with. There were a lot of delays. You know, some records would come out in like 2 or 3 months, which is quite quick. Some would take a year to be released. So things weren't coming out in the sequence that I made them in, and it just didn't make sense. And I was getting tired of not having control over my music. So yeah, I started the label so I could release things when I wanted them. I could release something quickly after I had finished it. And then, yeah, the idea for Pertrax was just my own tracks, obviously, which is why it has the name Pertrax. But then within, I think, one or two releases, you know, people got in touch with me and I heard music, and I couldn't resist releasing other people's music on the label.
In terms of global PR and music criticism, London has been cited as a really source of this kind of bass music derivatives.
Yeah.
But I think that British techno has a really great heritage that has been has not been described or maybe emphasized properly. How would you describe British techno, the development of it in general?
It's strong. It's been strong for a long time. I think it goes up and down in waves, and that's not to do with fashion. That's just to do with sometimes there's just individual producers doing good things, and sometimes there's an actual really strong scene where producers, labels, and club promoters are really working together to try and make techno stronger in the city, and that's really what's happening now. But yeah, of course, London, if you look at names like Luke Slater, James Ruskin, Steve Bicknell, all these guys that, you know, from years ago, they've been doing amazing things. And some of it has partly been forgotten because some of these guys ran vinyl-only labels. That music's never gone digital. It's never been sold digitally. It's never been therefore pirated so much. So kind of some of it remains almost as like sort of secrets on vinyl. But there's still people, obviously, like Luke Slater, who are still active now and doing great things. So yeah, the scene is strong at the moment, but it's always good.
You've also kind of made a shift in the label's sound in the last 3 years. What's the main reason behind this?
Yeah, I had a look at the label and it was jumping around. I always had this idea that the label Pertrax wouldn't have a sound, and it would just be the music I loved. You know, what's really, whether it was house or techno, anything electronic, and that was confusing a few people. And it was also to do Pertrax showcases and events. It was quite hard. Pertrax didn't really have any artists of its own. It just had people that had done maybe one release or maybe a track and a remix. So the idea was to bring in fairly new artists that weren't so well known, actually make a family at Pertrax. And of course, once you start having, say, 3, 4, 5 artists releasing frequently on the label, then yeah, the label's sound becomes a lot more set and people start to recognize that and sort of connect with it. But yeah, I think just it was that kind of minimal time, labels like Minus and things doing really well, but that sound wasn't for me, and it was almost a reaction against that. And it's just things got a bit more atmospheric and a bit darker, and that was a sound that Pertrax switched to a few years ago. And recently, I think what's coming up soon, I think there's going to be another change of sound. Not a really big change, but just maybe following what's going on in the UK now, there'll be sort of less atmospheric and sort of dub techno related sounds, and it'll just become more raw and direct.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk recently, especially in Resident Advisor, about this resurge of interest in industrial influenced techno, kind of a new wave, new school of British techno acts. Do you think it's a kind of a media construct, or do you think that there's really something new going on that hasn't been present in the UK underground? I mean, do you think the movement can escape the Berghain sound, or is it the reaction to the Berghain techno?
I don't think it's a reaction against it. It's not like we all met up and made a conscious decision to differentiate ourselves from what's happening in Berlin now, and all of us are like huge fans of the kind of Berghain, Oskut, even the kind of the sound that Hardwax tends to stock and promote. But yeah, London needs its own sounds. Our events are a lot shorter in terms of the length they run compared with, you know, Berghain that might go on for 36 hours or however long. So over here, the DJs generally play shorter sets. They want tracks that are quite direct. And so these kind of like atmospheric tracks maybe don't work so well on the dance floors in London. They want something that gets to the point and is hits quite hard and quite quickly. But even all the guys that keep getting talked about, like Blawan, Pariah, myself, Truss, AND, Sire, Shifted, we fit together, and there's some links between us in terms of influences and the scenes that we might have come from. But we're all doing our own thing, and there's definite distinctions between the sounds of most of these people. So we're kind of compatible rather than all being copies of each other. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Do you think that this hard sound in techno has any connection with the current political situation all over the world? Do you think this is the harshening of the sound, do you think it's a result of the political turmoil?
Well, it's hard to speak for all the producers, because I like involved in the UK scene. I don't know their backgrounds and the kind of places where they live at the moment, the environments that they're working in. But no, I don't particularly see that, because even when this was the supposedly good times and there wasn't a recession, there wasn't a financial crisis, there were still terrible things going on in the world, and there was still crime and there was still famine and war. So I don't particularly think this resurgence in the harsher techno in the last few years is related to any particular political or economic situation. But I think it fits with what's happening. So maybe journalists are picking up on that. Maybe fans, music buyers, clubbers are picking up on that. But that's more a coincidence and a connection other people are making, rather than the music being made as a direct reaction to what's happening.
Speaking of economy, let's talk about means of releasing and distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Even though most of the market now went digital, you've kept your vinyl releases going. So,
yeah.
What do you see in vinyl? What's the point in releasing vinyl, in your opinion?
That's a very good question, because I currently collect vinyl and I play it at home, but I don't, well, very rarely play it out in a club situation now. But I like vinyl. It's important for artists. The artists that DJ from vinyl, it's important for them to have a vinyl copy of their record. Whether you play vinyl or not, it's nice to have a physical artifact to hold in your hand, show your friends, show your family, or even like in 20 years' time, you have a physical memory of this particular time in your life and the release. And also, I think for labels, vinyl still is it's a stamp of quality. I was talking to a DJ the other day who said that even though he only plays digital, the tracks he sees and he wants to buy and that he listens to are the ones that are released on vinyl, because he knows that label has invested some money and invested some time in manufacturing the vinyl, so the music must be worth his time. When with a digital label, apart from maybe mastering costs, you don't have any costs whatsoever, so yeah, you can sort of release whatever you want, and sometimes because of that the quality control goes down. So being a vinyl label, yeah, I think people do respect it, and they see that you really believe in the music you do. Because of this, soon well, Pertrax now, a while ago it used to do some digital only releases, and now they've gone, so every single release on Pertrax, it will be on vinyl as well as digital.
What gear or software are you making most use of in the studio at the moment?
My studio is PC based around a Windows computer. I use Ableton Live as my main door. So that's the centerpiece of the studio. And then really I have quite a collection of hardware things, mainly either drum machines or distortion and effects boxes. I don't really have many synths because, as you know, my music doesn't really contain many big kind of like, you know, pad and chord sounds. So there's not so much need for me to have some huge keyboard. But I like to have like mono synths, and I like to have drum machines, like some old Roland drum machines here. There's some Yomox little percussion boxes, things like that. A couple of string reverbs, some delays, things like that. I love for both for the sound, but also it's just it's a hands-on physical experience connecting and using these bits of equipment. So it just makes a break from staring at Ableton and moving around the coloured blocks.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a switch in style of techno, mm-hmm. a shift actually. Are there any forthcoming projects that are marked that make that shift evident on Pertrax or from you on other labels?
Yeah, there's some remixes of mine coming up that especially like the one I did for Black Asteroid on Electric Deluxe, which I think has been released, I think, at the end of March or maybe early April. That's quite a direct in-your-face sound. There's an acid record on Pertrax with remixes by myself and MPIA3, which is a very direct kind of in-your-face track, especially the remixes. And also I'm working with Trust now on an EP for Pertrax, and that is definitely a very raw sound. The tracks are made completely live, and they've just been recorded in one take. So you press record, you do the track, and if there's any mistakes, that's it. You don't record it again. It's just 5 minutes and it's done. So it's a different sound, but it's also a different sort of mindset and aesthetic. It's a different way of working, and it's interesting. It's kind of leaving some of the mistakes in, but the whole thing's, even though it's obviously purely electronic music, it actually sounds more human than a lot of things done on a computer, you know, for weeks and weeks.
Great. So you're gonna play in Club K4.
Mm-hmm.
What can we expect from your performance?
I'm really looking forward to it. It's actually my first time in Slovenia, so yeah, I'm very excited about the gig. In terms of the set, I think sometimes when I play, I mix it up more than people expect. You know, if obviously there will be the industrial sounds and the tough techno, but I kind of like to mix it up and touch a little bit on the kind of sort of jacking, acid-y Chicago sounds, some kind of old school electro, but by modern producers like Morphology and Exotic, people like that. I'm playing quite a lot of their music at the moment. And yeah, just mixing things up. I don't play a lot of old classics, but I do play some sort of less well-known old tracks. And then of course there'll be all the new material for myself, the Pertrax label, and the kind of producers that I'm close to.
Great. Do you have any last messages for the listeners of Radio Student?
No, thank you for listening to the interview. Thank you for the support. And I'm looking forward to meeting you all at the gig.
Great. Thank you, Burke.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
To je bil britansko tehno DJ in producent Perk, katerega nastopu lahko prisluhnete danes v klubu K4 na večeru Elements. Intervju je pripravil Dino Lalič, tehniciral je Sanja, brala pa sem Zala. Intervju Radija Študent.